All right, Terry. So the Browns at 0-11 now. Things have really fallen apart, and one of the things that's really concerning is the offensive line and these quarterbacks. Cody Kessler just getting completely beat up in these games. What's going on?
So you think two concussions in 29 days is getting beat up?
Yeah.
I think Cody would agree.
Yeah.
And of course, in the last 2 years, Josh McCown has broken two collarbones.
With the Browns, yeah.
With the Browns. So that probably is an indication. Broken bones and concussions usually mean there are problems.
There are problems with that. The
And I don't
offensive
mean to
line.
be facetious because it's not my concussions and it's not my broken collarbones. But every team does not have quarterbacks breaking collarbones and concussions. And we didn't even throw in RG3's broken bone in his shoulder for one game.
Yeah.
Now, some of this is the quarterback's fault. It's not all in the offensive line. But the Browns, 3 years ago, had one of the better offensive lines in football. And if you were to go back and say, for example, when they had the center was Alex Mack, and they had John Greco and Joel Bitonio at the guards, and the tackles were Joe Thomas and Mitchell Schwartz, that was a top 10 offensive line in
Yeah,
the
I
NFL.
recognize all those names.
Yeah. And they are all legit NFL starters. Mack and Thomas were Pro Bowl players. And Joel Bitonio was on his way to making a Pro Bowl, and then he got hurt in the second year. So that was really a good line. You turn around now, there's only how many players left from that good line?
Two.
Two. Who would be the main one?
Joe
Joe
Thomas.
Thomas, and the other is John Greco.
Okay.
So I was really kind of dissecting, well, how did this go so bad? The first thing that happened in 2009, the Browns drafted Alex Mack, first round pick, one of the best things Eric Mangini did. Center out of California, Berkeley, California. He turns out to be exactly what they expected, a starter, a very good player. Now, here's what you do if you're smart. After about 2 years or maybe into the third year, when this guy's not when he's at the end of his rookie contract, sign him to an extension. Do it now.
Okay.
They didn't.
Really?
They let it roll and let it roll. And then what happened is after the 2013 season, he's now a restricted free agent. And the Browns allowed him to go get an offer sheet from Jacksonville. They still weren't able to get him signed. Because he at that point, he'd had enough of the Browns. He wanted out. Remember, 2009, now it's 13. So he's been through 4 years of this garbage, you know.
Yeah.
People hired, coaches fired, hired. See, for example, the one thing, good thing they did, and I have to give Mike Holmgren's front office credit for that, they signed Joe Thomas to this very lucrative long-term contract.
Okay.
So Joe is, in fact, Joe has 2 more years after this year on it.
Wow.
Made him the highest paid tackle in the NFL, but you know, he couldn't just walk.
Okay.
Well, after about his third year, Mack had enough. He just was not going to re-sign here. So he gets an offer sheet from Jacksonville. The Browns match it, but that offer sheet allowed him to leave after 2 more years.
Oh.
So in other words, he played here, frankly, the last 2 years with everybody knowing he's going to go.
Oh, wow.
Bad situation,
Yeah,
right?
yeah.
So that was number one. They didn't sign Mack to a free agent contract.
And
Number
he's gone.
two, they decided they're going to draft a replacement. Do you remember who that was? The guy who's playing center right now.
Is it Shelton?
Cam Irving.
Oh,
Cam
Cam Irving.
Irving. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Shelton's on the. Yeah. Cam Irving.
Okay.
First round.
Right.
You got to get this right. And they did it. We better make sure we have a replacement because even we know Alex Mack's going to walk. The problem is Cam Irving's no good.
Oh, boy.
So basically, you could blame a couple of administrations before Ray Farmer for not getting Mack signed. Then you could blame Ray Farmer administration for throwing a 19th pick in the draft at Cam Irving, who had only played 6 games in college at center. He had been a tackle before that. And Amanda, he is, it's not only is he physically he seems to be overmatched, he seems to be, the center is like the quarterback of the offensive line. He has to know the like where the rush is coming from and all that. And after the game the other day when they lost to the Steelers, Joe Thomas said something that was very alarming. He says, "We need to know what our blocking schemes are supposed to be. The black backs are supposed to know who to pick up, and the quarterback's supposed to know where the rush is coming from." Well, that starts with the center. In fact, games where Cam Irving has not played, because he's been hurt, the line has been better.
Uh-oh. That's not good.
It is really bad. Got it?
Yeah, that's bad.
But there's more.
Okay.
So you mess up center with two centers. You allow one to leave too early. By the way, Alex Mack became a free agent for this after the 2015 season. People said, why don't they resign or whatever? He wasn't coming back. He had checked out after 2013. He was just counting the days. You know.
Wow, okay.
He's now with Atlanta. Of course, he's a good player in Atlanta. And so.
Okay.
All right. So that was one. The next was Irving. Next thing came in the offseason was Mitchell Schwartz, right tackle.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to want you to understand something about these guys on the line. Joe Thomas has never missed a snap. Alex Mack only missed, had one season where he was hurt and missed snaps. The other time he played every single snap.
Mm-hmm.
Mitchell Schwartz, when he's with the Browns, he was a pick in 2011. He never missed a snap. Now, they did the same thing with Schwartz they did with Mack. They failed to sign him early.
Right.
They allowed him to get to the end of his contract. Then they could, he sort of wanted to come back. They weren't sure if they wanted him or not. This is the current regime now, the Sashi Brown front office. So we have the Sashi Brown front office, the Ray Farmer front office, the Joe Banner front office, and we have the Mike Holmgren front office, and all of them have contributed to the mess they have now.
Oh, boy.
In the end, Schwartz, who's a slightly above average right tackle, not great, but above average and durable, he walks.
Mm.
He's now at Kansas City.
Right.
So Mack is gone. Schwartz is gone. Irving can't play. All right, so those are judgments. Now, you know what happens when you make a bunch of bad judgments in real life?
What's that?
Bad luck shows up.
Okay.
Right? Doesn't it always?
Yes, yes.
I mean, think about it in your own life. Yeah, you know, if you've done something stupid, like with your checking account or whatever, then you walk out there and, you know, somebody had just flattened your tires or whatever.
Right.
Something crazy happens. And that was Joel Bitonio, who was really their next good offensive lineman on the verge of making a Pro Bowl. He got hurt like five games into this season. Major foot injury. He's out till next year.
Oh, wow.
So now you have just this hodgepodge of guys.
Oh, my goodness.
So, because no line can sustain the loss of Schwartz, Mack, Bitonio.
Yeah, you have to have some guys who know what
and,
they're doing.
And a first-round pick that's a total flop.
Yeah.
In fact, Amanda, to make it even worse, as if, you know, it's not bad enough, I went back to the first draft in 99 when the Browns came back, and I looked at every lineman they have picked in the first or second round. This is the one thing they actually did right. Every single lineman they picked in the first or second round since 1999, and sometimes there are guys like Jeff Fain, who you forgot, they all became starters in the NFL.
Wow.
Every single one, and became starters quickly. They may not have been great, but they were guys like Mitchell Schwartz that played every down, or they were, you know, they were all pretty good to really good players, except Cam Irving.
Bad luck.
Bad pick, foul bad luck, you know.
Yeah, right.
Because the bunch of bad picks and bad decisions, you've just opened the door wide so that the armored carrier bad luck could come and just dump a load of that right on top of you.
And these poor quarterbacks who get the brunt of it.
Are suffering. And also, Joe Thomas would tell you, when there's all this flux and change on the offensive line, they have to kind of work together.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you watch, I mean, they're down, you know, their hands on the ground, their butts in the air, they're kind of peeking there, and the defense is jumping all around. You ever notice that? They're moving, they're trying to confuse the linemen. So that center has to really have done his homework and understand what's going on, and also know how people around move. And it's almost like sometimes a dance. If you watch, sometimes a guy will block a rusher for a while, and he moves on to someone else, and somebody comes and steps in and finishes the block off. It's hard to explain. Unless you really have played some offensive line or sit there with a guy like Joe Thomas, he talks about it.
Yeah.
But they are almost like on a string. They move around together. But if they are not in concert with each other, the song sounds really off key, and that's what you get.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, on defense, a lot of times you don't need as much continuity. You say to the guy, go in there, and all right, here's what you're going to do. You're going to run right between the left guard and left tackle, and you want to just kill the quarterback. That's your job. Have a good time. You got two downs to go do it, and then you're coming out, and they're bringing in somebody else. So on defense, while they may be dancing around and fooling people, they all know the one spot they're going to run to. They know. Mm-hmm. But on offense, you don't know what they're doing. So if you look at all this, you know, they always say the sins of the fathers are passed on to the family. Well, the sins of the various front offices.
Yeah.
Starting with not signing up Alex Mack long term way back when, before he realized how bad it was here.
Wow.
And that's what you get now. So what does that mean for the future?
That's what I was going to say. Now what?
Well, what do you think?
They have to start over again or what?
Yeah, they got to go get a couple offensive linemen.
Through the draft or trading or?
Well, you know, it's pretty hard to find good ones on the open market.
Yeah, right.
Most of the time, if you have a really good offensive lineman, except the Browns, two of them walk.
Yeah.
Most of the time, you sign them up. So they're probably going to have to draft right. And they have two picks in the first round and two picks in the second round. At least one of those picks, I think they might even have two in the third round next year. So let's say they have six in the first. I think they have six picks in the top 100, I was told. So of those picks, at least two will probably have to be on offensive linemen, which you never thought would be the issue.
Wow.
That's about what
endless
the quarterbacks
problem.
Have probably said, wow. Yeah. In fact, it's what that's what gets Joe Thomas. He doesn't get down too often, but I think he enjoyed the camaraderie, whatever, because even though the team wasn't all that good, many of those years, the offensive line was pretty decent, and they took pride in that until the last couple of years.
Wow.
Now, sometimes quarterbacks put themselves at risk,
and
you have to get rid of the ball and you know, quit running. I always say, don't be a hero.
Yeah.
You know, these quarterbacks think they want to be football players, and I'm going to go put my shoulder down and, you know, take on a linebacker. It's just stupid. It is, because you're going to get hurt, and you're going to hurt your team.
Yeah.
But this offensive line thing has become yet another problem for a team full of problems.
Oof, not good.
Happy Thanksgiving, Amanda.
Yeah. For the Browns, not so much. Terry, thanks.
You're welcome.